So the bottom line with kids is that they cost more money than we want to spend. They bring more pain and conflict into our lives than we are willing to bear emotionally, physically, spiritually. They test our marriages in ways that we are simply not prepared for. When we said, I do, we had hopes of having children, but we honestly had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. And the bottom line is that, at least from my perspective, as a husband, and I think this is the way all dads feel, you give your heart to your wife, and she gives it back to you, and now it has arms and legs and a mind of its own. And you don't have control over this thing, and it challenges you in ways that you could have never anticipated. But here's the reality, that one of life's greatest challenges, one of life's greatest tragedies, is if for some reason we weren't able to have children, we would consider ourselves deeply, deeply challenged in our own faith and in our own identity as who we are, because we each want to be moms and dads. And so children test us and torment us and challenge us in ways that we're simply not prepared for, but yet at the same time, they bring us a measure of joy and completeness that we would feel bereft without. And that is the adventure that is being a parent and having a child. And so this morning, we're going to take a little diversion from our narrative exegesis of the book of Acts. And I just want to talk about parenting. I just want to talk about children. And I just want to share one scripture with you this morning, almost by way more of a topical devotion that I think will be encouraging for us this morning as we take a little bit of time and we focus on little ones, on kids, and we kind of take a look at a home run passage in the Bible about children and what they are to God and his kingdom. But at the end of the day, having children, being a mom, being a dad, is an adventure. And like any good adventure, the outcome is not assured. Some people think that roller coasters are adventurous. I would tend to disagree with that, because the outcome is assured. They're fun, they're exciting, but for it to be an actual adventure, you would have to not know that you would actually survive the roller coaster. And so obviously they're not building roller coasters like that. I'm not saying it's a good idea, but that would be adventurous. And so raising children, the outcome is not assured. It's not like a roller coaster ride where, as crazy and as loopy as it gets, we know that you're harnessed in safely and that the child is going to be okay and be a responsible member of society and one that we're proud of and all of that. There's no guarantee, like there is with a roller coaster, of a safe and controlled conclusion to this adventure. Having children is truly adventurous in that we have no idea how this is going to end. And so to kind of illustrate this in a fun and silly way, Ezra, could you help me this morning and just kind of help illustrate this idea that having children is, in fact, an adventurous undertaking where there is no guarantee? Ezra would like to share a few things with us this morning to help me make this point. So what are you going to share with us a little bit this morning?
This colored pencil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blueberry colored pencil. And so I decided one day that I would try and see how far I could. Yeah. And then it just sort of like that.
Wow. That is amazing. That is an adventurous application of the anything else you've got with that.
Okay, so I have this quarter right here. I'm going to take it and see if I can make it disappear. Oh, I dropped it. But the cord is gone.
Well, thank you, sir. That was wonderful. Thank you for your help this morning. Why I had Ez come up this morning to do his silly little magic tricks is, we, as charming as that may be, there is nothing magical about Trish or myself. We don't have any magic tricks. This is not something that we taught him how to do. This is something that he did for himself. And so sometimes, being a child, it's a fun adventure because it's entertaining and it's cute. Other times, he's sitting in a restaurant and he starts shoving random things up his nose. And and you have no idea how this is impacting the people that you're, you know, and he's a high school freshman this year, and I don't know if the kids think that's cool or if that's really not a good idea. We don't know where this is going with him and his silly little magic tricks. We can absolutely see how part of it might be his development as a young man where he has some initiative and he teaches himself new skills, but we don't know if he's going to use these skills for good or for evil. We really don't know. The jury is out. He's a child and we love him, but it's adventurous. This is not something that we ever asked him to do. He just does it. And so obviously as parents, we seek to provide all that we can for our children so that we can help assure the outcome, so that we can help our child experience everything that we want them to experience and be well-adjusted and have a wonderful adulthood and go on to have children of their own. And so as moms and dads, we are trying to shape the adventure that is raising a child by what we provide for them. And I want to share with you this morning from the scripture the single greatest thing that we can provide for our children by means of showing that we actually love them and want the best for them and to actually do the best for them. And we're going to see that it's above and beyond anything that we can actually provide. So if you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 10. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 16. They're very familiar verses. You've probably seen these verses before, or you've heard people talk about these verses before. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. We'll have the words on the screen behind us. And again, it's a very, very familiar passage. These are the words of Jesus. We're going to find the words of Jesus in this passage. So if you're reading along in your Bible and there are some words that are red, that's your Bible translating committee just giving you a little help to understand that these are actual words from Jesus that were recorded by Mark. So sometimes you might wonder, well, why is the text in a different color from the rest of my Bible? That's because we're going to talk about some words that Jesus actually preached. So here we go, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they, the general folks, were bringing children to him, to Jesus, that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. Rebuked is a biblical word for yelled at them, shushed them away. Verse 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Verse 15, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them, the little ones, in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. That is exactly why we had the baby dedications here this morning. We wanted to do just what we see Jesus doing in the scripture and actually what was done for him by his mom and dad when he was presented into the temple. He too had a man of God place his hands on him and pray blessing into his life. And then we see Jesus continuing this practice. Don't stop the little ones from coming to me. They're the last thing as far as the distraction goes. In fact, they're not a distraction. They actually help us focus our attention where it should be focused, because I'm telling you right now, if you don't accept the kingdom of heaven with the same humble simplicity and faith that a child does, you haven't received it at all. And so then he takes them, he puts his hand on them, and he prays a blessing in them. So that's exactly what we do here this morning when it comes to child dedication. We want to do what we see Jesus doing. And so because we love our children, we want the best for them. That's why we have them dedicated in church this morning. We want the best for them. We want God's blessing in their life and in our family in the hopes that they will grow up and make a decision of faith of their own. We provide for them. And so one of the things that we provide for our children is money. And, you know, we think about this all the time. We think about, you know, should our wife go and get a job? Because if she gets a job, the money is nice, but now she's not in the home. And then we're going to have to get a second vehicle. And she's probably going to have to, you know, dress professionally and not wear yoga pants all day long. And she's also going to need lunch. And so does the amount of money that she's able to make doing whatever worth the expense of having her go to work and also finding someone to help us take care of the kids while they're home? Or in some families, that's the question that you have about dad, because mom has a job and it's great and it's helping to pay the bills. And dad's the one that's like, should I go out and get a job or am I doing better by the family financially? And so by staying at home. And so we think about money in our kids all the time because we know that money helps us to provide things for our children that we feel passionately about. And so we think about money all the time. We want to provide more money for our kids. We want to provide experiences for our children. Trish and I are not big Disney people, and I know that some of you, you know, just hearing me say that, you're going to be like, you know what, and we kind of liked you, and we kind of liked this church, but now we're done. Now we're done knowing that you and the mouse are just not, you know, best friends. We're not best friends with the mouse. But we also kind of felt that just because we're not best friends with the mouse, that doesn't mean that our children wouldn't enjoy a trip to Disney World. And so we took the time and the money that it takes to go to Disney World, and we went this past spring because we wanted to provide that experience for our boys. And we had a great time as a family. We did. We really enjoyed it. And we felt like good parents because everybody knows that good parents take their children to Disney World. And so we were able to do that for our boys. We wanted them to have that experience. We also want them to have the experience of knowing what it's like to work hard. And so we expect them to do chores around the house. And this is what we do as parents. Parents act and think this way all the time. It's very normal. We want them to have those experiences because we know that we're providing something for them that is beneficial. Education. And this goes right back into the money question as well. We want a great education for our children. And so school systems are important to us. And so we volunteer for school systems. Some of us choose to homeschool because we feel that's the best way we can provide for our kids. We're always thinking about making more money so that we can provide college for our children because we know that their chances of getting an actually decent job improve if they have at least a bachelor's, if not higher, education. And so, you know, we want to provide education for our little ones. And these thoughts start from almost the moment that they enter pre-K. We're already thinking about the next level of education that we want to provide for our children. But here's the reality, that nobody feels that they're providing enough for their kids. Everybody feels like they could be, should be, ought to be providing more for their children. We love them that much. We really do. It really is like our heart grew arms and legs and a mind of its own and it's running around. And even though it's bonking its cute little forehead on the corner of the coffee table, we love that thing anyways. And even if it shoves random things up its nose during lunch and it's just to the shock and dismay of the wait staff, we still love that little one. It really is like our heart running around arms and legs and a mind of its own. And so none of us as parents feel like we're doing enough. We have a tendency to look back on our experience as parents and say, oh, if we'd only done this, or if we'd only worked a little bit harder or a little bit longer, but then we're not in the home. And so, you know, I don't want my children being raised by other people. So maybe I shouldn't have worked as much and I shouldn't have made it. And we torment ourselves. We can drive ourselves crazy because we care so much about our little ones, our children, that we do want to provide for them, that it's very, very easy to get into this cycle where we feel that because we haven't provided enough for our kids, be it we haven't provided enough of our time for them, we haven't provided enough money for them, we haven't provided the right experiences for them, we love to beat ourselves up when it comes to being a mom and a dad. Here's something that I want to share with you this morning that I think for many of us will mean a lot, and it's going to sink home, and it's going to strike home, and it might even be something that you've never really thought about this way before, and we're going to talk about it just a little bit, but here's a big thought. Here's a big idea. Do not link your ability to provide as a parent with God's love for you as a child. Do not link your ability to provide for your children, your child, with God's love for you as his child. They're two separate things. I think a lot of times because we do have a lot of doubt and angst and anxiety about our level to provide for our kids, that we begin to measure ourselves in light of how well we can provide for our little ones. And we've taken our eyes off of the fact that that's not the measure of God's love for us. The measure of God's love for us is God's love for us. It's something different. It's something separate from our ability to provide for our children. God does not love his children because of what they can do any more than we do. God does not love his children because of what they can do any more than you do as a mom or a dad. You don't expect anything from your kids. You just love them. Now, we do have expectations for them, but that's separate from the love that we feel for them. When Benaiah was very little, he's always enjoyed tools, and I think he was 3, maybe 4, when chainsaws are a big deal in our family. They are. We love chainsaws. The mouse, okay. Chainsaws, now we're excited. So chainsaws are a thing in our family. So being a good dad, I provided Benaiah with his first chainsaw when he was about three and a half years old. And it was a little plastic one that made a little noise, and it had like a little chain that looks like BBs that are all attached to each other that run around the bar of the chainsaw. And so it just spins this little BB necklace around the bar of the chainsaw, and it makes noises. He was thrilled until he went outside and tried to cut the tree down. This thing doesn't work. Well, Trish and I thought that was adorable. He had an expectation that he was actually supposed to work with that chainsaw. That's what we modeled in our family. As a mom and a dad, we gave it as a gift for him to enjoy. We had no expectation that he would begin cutting down trees with his chainsaw. We didn't need him to provide anything for us. We are providing for him. But his thought was, you gave me this tool, I'm going to cut something down with it. So as a three-year-old, he had this expectation that he was supposed to be doing something for us. We feel that way towards God all the time. We feel that way towards God all the time. It's so easy to equate how God's love for us, and we measure it by our ability to provide for our children, and we've forgotten that sometimes God just gives us things because he loves us. He doesn't need anything from us, even as we would never expect a toddler to go out and start cutting down cordwood. We just love him, so he gave him a gift. As moms and dads, sometimes we just need to separate our ability to provide for our kids from the fact that God loves us. So don't link your ability to provide as a parent with God's love for you as his child. In fact, the most important thing we can provide our children is a picture of God's love. And so the greater we are able to understand that God loves us as his children with no expectations, just because we bring him joy, the same way we love our children with no expectations. We love them because we were part of creating them, and they bring us tremendous joy. So much joy, in fact, that if we're not able to have children at all, we would consider that possibly the judgment of God. We would feel terrible that we were missing one of life's greatest joys, even though children can be such a burden on us in all these other ways. And so we link it the wrong way. But the greatest thing that we can provide our children is a picture of God's love, which means receiving the kingdom of God like a child, receiving God's love for us like a child receives our love, and not linking it to what we're able to do or provide for God. And here's the big idea this morning. As a parent, the best provision for my children is for me to love God like a child. The best thing that I can provide for my kids is for me to love God like a kid. Isn't that what our passage said this morning? Let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. For truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child doesn't even enter it, doesn't even understand it at all. And so the best provision on a Sunday where we're thinking about children, we're thinking about providing for them, we're thinking about what's the best we can do for our kids, the big idea this morning that we see from the text is that as a parent, as a mom, as a dad, the best provision that we can provide for our children is to us to love God like a kid, to love God like a child. Because as we live in God's kingdom, we introduce our children to the King. Where are our children going to find God's kingdom on earth? Well, we'd like to think that they would find it in a middle school auditorium on a Sunday morning. We would like to think that our children will be growing up in a school system where every time they walk into that library, they're thinking about the Sunday school class that they had there where they learned about God's love. And so we're hoping that our children will experience an aspect of God's kingdom for a few hours on a Sunday morning here in a middle school. But where do our children actually find the kingdom of heaven? They find it in our homes. And how do we bring that kingdom to them? By loving God like a kid, by loving God like a child, by separating our own measure of how much God loves us based off of our ability to provide good things for our children, and just understanding and being at peace with the fact that God loves us. even as we love our own children. So as we live in God's kingdom, we introduce our children to the King. There was a time, so we provide windows as moms and as dads, where our children experience the kingdom of heaven in our house. We provide windows as moms and dads at times where our children experience the kingdom of heaven in our house. And you might be thinking, wow, you've never been to our house. You've never seen our house. Tomorrow morning is going to be great because, you know, it's a holiday, so maybe it's not as crazy as it can be on a morning. But sometimes when our homes are the least like a kingdom of heaven is on Sunday morning, where we're feeling like we kind of want to be sleeping in, we kind of want to be going to the beach, there's other things we kind of want to be doing with our weekend, and so we get into a tussle, and we're tussling all the way to church, and then we try to clean it up when we walk in, you know, the auditorium. And so we're like, yeah, you haven't been to our house. It doesn't feel like the kingdom of heaven. It's supposed to feel like the kingdom of heaven on Sunday morning, but it's actually the furthest from the kingdom of heaven on Sunday morning. But as moms and dads, as we have the ability to love God like a child, we provide glimpses. Let's start with a glimpse maybe this morning. Let's start with a glimpse that there will be times in our homes where our children are able to glimpse God's love for them because we are just rejoicing in God's love for us. There are times like that in our house. I think it's mostly when I'm taking a nap. I think when I'm taking a nap and out of the picture and it's just Trish, I think maybe that's when God's kingdom is the clearest in our house. I'm not really sure. I feel Mom's trying to keep the boys quiet while Dad's napping because then it really won't be the kingdom of God in my house when Dad wakes up if he's not. Anyways, so there are moments in our house where I think we experience God's love like that and our boys are able to get a glimpse of God's love for them because Trisha and I are just delighting in God's goodness to us. There were moments like that in my own childhood, the time that meant the most to me, if I had to say the one time as a boy where I kind of felt like I glimpsed the kingdom of God in my own house was washing dishes with my mom, because every once in a while we would sing. And sometimes it was goofy songs about people being stomped by various animals at circuses and fairs. Other times it was about who knows what goofy songs my mom learned when she was growing up as a Girl Scout. But sometimes we would sing those songs. They had nothing to do with Jesus, but just standing there washing dishes with my mom, it felt like we were part of something bigger than our house, better than our house, like lovier than our house. And some of the songs were songs that we would sing at Vacation Bible School or at Sunday school, and those were precious. Those were holy times. And so I think this morning, the idea is to encourage us as moms and dads to create these windows of opportunity in our own homes that our children are able to see the kingdom of God. That's what we're dedicating. That's what we're praying about this morning. And it's a very simple thing, by separating ourselves from our own judgments of how good we are as providing for our own kids and understanding that letting God love us like we're his child and loving him back like we're a kid is how we create these windows of opportunity to see God's kingdom inside of our own home. And you might be saying this morning, and I'm wrapping this up, so worship team, if you guys want to go back on the platform, we're going to be done in just a moment or two. Some of you might be saying, but there are things about me that have separated me from God's love. It's not even so much my ability to provide for my children. There's other things where I feel that I am wounded in a certain way, I'm crippled in a certain way, that prevent me from really going to a place in my mind and in my heart and in my prayer life where I can connect with God as simply and as humbly and as beautifully as a child would. And so I need to see God work in my life in this way. And here's the encouraging thought for you this morning. So there's no doubt that we've all received different woundings as we've grown and matured that have separated us from God and make us feel like, man, there's no way that I could be a picture of God's love in my own household because I'm struggling to receive God's love. I just have a hard time going back to that humble, childlike faith that we see in the little ones because X, Y, and Z has happened to me. It's crippled me. It's hindered me. It's hurt me in a way. And here's what we need to realize this morning is that when we see a child who needs a little extra help, not only is that child loved, that child is actually adored. You want to light up social media, talk about a child that you know that needs a little extra help because they're crippled or they're hindered in a certain way. They're atypical. The atypical child not only gets our love, but they also get our adoration. Do you think God acts any differently than we do? Where do you think that comes from? If you were to go down to the middle school cafeteria, right here, just go down the hall, go to the cafeteria. I've spent a lot of time there working with kids in the community. It's a great opportunity that I've had to love on kids. One of the things that I did this past summer was help clean up after the couple hundred kids were doing summer rec down there. And I'm a neat freak and I like to clean. It restores sense and order to my brain and it makes me less cranky. So that's a good thing. So the kids would go out to go run around somewhere and I would stay behind with a team of teenagers and clean. And what we noticed very, very quickly is that there are some benches in the cafeteria. There are some tables in the cafeteria. As we folded them and moved them out of the way, they're missing a bench. Most of the tables have four benches, and you fold it up and you move it out of the way, and there's four places for children to sit around this table. Some of those tables down there are atypical. There's no bench. And so the question is, what's wrong with this cafeteria table? Did they run out of money so that they could only put three benches on this rectangular table? No, the reason there's not a bench there is because they're accommodating children in a wheelchair. The child is able to drive right up to the table and have a seat like every other child. Why? Because when it comes to the atypical, we'll move heaven and earth to have them be a part of experiencing what everyone else is experiencing. Where does that come from? Are we better than God in that regard? Absolutely not. There are aspects of who we are that we feel atypical, that it's distancing us from God's love. And what we need to remind ourselves this morning is that even as we make accommodations for children who need a little bit of extra help, and we do so joyfully, we like this school better knowing that there's atypical cafeteria tables down there. That's the truth. That just happened. You're like, wow, I like this school better knowing that a kid in a wheelchair can roll right up to the table and have a place and not have to sit at the end of the table. That makes us feel better about there's a place at the table for you. What does God have to do? Take a bench out, cut a hole in the table. What does he got to do? The answer is he'll do it. There's nothing that he will allow to separate you from experiencing his love for you just like a kid, just like a child. And as you do so, watch for the windows in your own home as the kingdom of God and your kids see it, because God is looking to bless his household through you, Mom, through you, Dad. So allow him to do so. And it starts in our mind when we realize that there is a seat at the table for you. It doesn't matter how you roll up to that table. There's a seat for you at that table. Because God's better than we are, right? If we can do that for children in a wheelchair, surely he can do better than that. And he has and he will. And so this morning, if you've never thought about Jesus Christ that way, you've never thought about Jesus Christ as God's way to make a seat for you at the table, think about it this morning. And you might need to pray and say, Father, I just humble myself before you. I need you to love me. I realize that you've made provision for me at your table through your son, Jesus Christ. And the answer is yes. I will repent of my known sin. I will wash my hands and come to that table. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of us, maybe we've made that decision a long time ago, but it's been a while since we felt the love of God that way, that we have a special place at his table. And we realize that as we are able to receive God's love like a child, that his kingdom comes alive in our house. And we just need to take a moment this morning and wash our hands, repent of anything that we know is separating us from God, and like a child, say, yes, please, and allow God to be God and allow him to bless our homes through us as moms and dads. Don't worry about your ability to provide for your kids. God's not measuring you that way. That's not how he measures you. So allow him to love you in that way this morning. This is what our children remind us of. This is why we dedicate them, because even as we create a place where they can be people of faith, our faith is strengthened as well. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and then we'll be dismissed. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to take a brief look into your word. Father, we're amazed at what we find there, that our maturity really doesn't mean a whole lot to you. Our ability to approach you humbly like a child is what you're looking for. And so, Father, we pray that even now that we're grown and we have families of our own, that you would allow us to, like a child, be okay with being adored and provided for by our Heavenly Father. And I pray, Father, that that would strengthen our faith and allow us to be the kinds of moms and dads that we want to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.